Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Scott. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, man. Usually we say welcome back to the listeners and welcome back to you guys as well, but also, you know, thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, we like to talk to each other sometimes, you know, other than... Never mind.
Yeah, it's not all business. Sometimes,
no.
Sometimes I'll say, hey, how is your day? Or how is that sandwich?
good example.
I'm just saying we practice things that aren't car questions. But sure. Of course, we know what we're here to do today, and that is to learn a little bit more about cars, about vehicles in general. And usually, since the name of the podcast is High Speed Stuff, we talk about things that are speed related. Can you feel this segue?
I can see it coming.
This is yeah. Well, I had an epic one planned, but okay. let's keep it a little truncated. I don't want to rip off stuff you should know. As you know, they've got the segue thing down. So we had a really interesting topic today that we have an article coming out on idle stop systems.
Yeah, that's right. Idle stop systems, and you probably are familiar with it. You've probably heard the term mild hybrid, right?
Yes, but I think I heard you say it, and I didn't ask you what it meant.
Okay, well, there's a difference between mild hybrids and full-on hybrids. Full-on hybrids are we've talked about those in the past.
Sure.
You know, there's a gas motor or a diesel motor, I guess, and an electric motor that drives the wheels. You know, combination of the two, one or the other, you know, that type of thing. Yes. Mild hybrid systems, that's not the case. A mild hybrid system, really just a gasoline engine is the only method of propulsion, I guess. You know, that's the only thing that's powering the wheels. However, it does have a system that can shut down the engine when it's at idle.
Huh.
Yeah, totally stops it, which is really cool. So it's tremendous fuel savings. That's what it amounts to, really.
But wait, isn't that bad for a car over time? Because I know back, I think it was when my grandparents first got a car, to save gas, one of the things they would do is turn the car off when they were going downhill, or turn it off instead of idling at a stoplight or a stop sign. Mm-hmm. Well, they were in a small town. It was probably just stop signs. So I was under the impression that that was bad for cars, the frequent turning off and on.
You know, I've always heard that too, and that may be the case with older starter systems. This is a newer, I guess, a more powerful electric starter, which is it's a bigger system, really. It's a more sturdy system because it's designed specifically for this. I don't know if that's really a great way to describe that away, but what I'm trying to say is that it's designed specifically to restart the vehicle over and over again, and it's really the most efficient way to do it because you don't want a car sitting at idle for too long. Because if you think about it, idle is that's 0 miles per gallon. That's the most inefficient that your vehicle can be at any given time. It's stop and go traffic. That's rough on a car, but idling, just sitting in the idling, that's bad news for mileage.
That is a really good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah,
and so. It sounds like what we're saying here is that one of the reasons people would want this system really comes down to saving money or saving gas.
Saving fuel, yeah, that's right. It increases fuel economy, of course, and it's better to not be sitting idling in traffic and, you know, just spewing carbon emissions the whole time while you're there as well. You know, because your engine is shut off. It's not like it's operating at a lower speed or anything like that, because really that's what idling is anyways. But you're just saving all the fuel that you would normally be burning as your engine is, you know, coasting down to stop. Then when it's at stop, and then it doesn't turn on again until the very second that you hit the accelerator at the light.
Okay. All right. That does sound reasonable, but the question that comes immediately after that, is this system safe, or are these sorts of systems safe?
Oh, extremely safe. Yeah, there's nothing dangerous about it, really, because it's just an electrical system that really kicks in and fires the starter, which then turns the engine. Are you a golfer?
I am aware of the sport.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Just about my level. I've played a few times, but I do know a little something about golf carts. Not much, a little bit, but there are electric golf carts, of course, totally silent all the way around the course. Those are nice. Yeah. There are also gasoline-powered golf carts. And you've probably heard those before, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you're playing golf, a lot of people like it quiet, I guess, right?
Sure. Yeah, okay, you got to concentrate.
So as soon as you let off the gas on in a gasoline-powered cart, you'd think it would be idling, you know, noisily behind you the whole time, but that's not the case. The engine shuts off. It's the exact same thing that we're talking about in a mild hybrid here. So a mild hybrid is essentially just like, it operates just like a golf cart. If you've ever driven a gasoline-powered golf cart,
yeah,
that is really, that's a mild hybrid golf cart.
Weird. You know, yeah, that's weird because I think golf carts are a load of fun, so I've probably driven golf carts more than some of my friends who golf, but yeah, I actually haven't.
And you've never thought about that, right? I mean, because
no,
when you're at idle, it's totally silent.
That's a really good
point.
No
noise at all. But as soon as you hit the gasoline, you know, the accelerator pedal, rather, the engine starts up magically and you're on your way, right?
So is that how it works? It just sends an electric signal?
It's just an electric signal right to the starter, an electric starter, which turns the engine, which, you know, begins the whole system, the whole process.
Now,
it starts the engine again, really.
Okay. All right, I'm with you. With you. We're on the same page here. But I guess the next question is this something that we're going to run into? How space age is this technology? Is it common or is it uncommon?
I wouldn't say common yet. It's not terribly uncommon, though, either. And I'll explain to you in a moment because it's already in several vehicles, a few that you probably already know. It's in the 2007 Saturn View, the green line. That's the SUV version. It's also in all European versions of the Mini right now, and it may be in a few here in the U.S. I'm not sure of the production, what they're doing with that.
Mm-hmm.
The Smart 4-2 in Europe also uses the mild hybrid system, you know, the idle stop. And BMW 1 Series cars, there's some Volkswagen, Citroen. Another one that we'll mention in a little while is the 2005 to 2007 Chevy Silverado. Uses a mild hybrid system, not a full hybrid system, but a mild hybrid system.
Okay.
It looks like I think I heard that Audi is also using a mild hybrid system.
Huh.
Starting this year in 2009, they've used it in the A3, A4, and I think the A5, and I think they're going to do it in more vehicles, you know, in the upcoming year.
Weird. When I say weird, I don't mean that the idea is weird. I mean it's weird that I had not heard of this.
Well, it's a little weird. It's a little strange because, you know, you've got it kind of goes against what we've been told all along, because I've heard the same thing that you have.
Yeah.
You don't turn a car off and turn it back on, use more fuel when you do that. I guess that's not the case. And I think that may have something to do with, you know, fuel injection versus carburation and, you know,
that makes sense.
Need to use to prime the carburetor, etc. I'm sure someone will tell me that I'm wrong on that, but, you know.
But we love the mail.
Yeah, please do.
So wait. So this could actually be an example of, I guess, the technology evolving to the point where it's not true anymore. It's like an old wives' tale,
correct,
or old mechanic's tale.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it's getting better than this. Even there's a new example out there that we should probably talk about. There's an example in our article, as a matter of fact, the article that we have on our site, and it's the Mazda 3. And the Mazda 3 uses an extremely advanced idle start-stop system. It's unlike any other system right now that's out on the market.
Are we going to go into this, or do we need to look at the article?
Well, no, we don't need to look at the article. I've got some notes here, by the way. So, Mazda, it's the Mazda 3.
Okay.
And it will be available in late 2009. And it's called, they call it the Smart Idle Stop System, or SISS, S-I-S-S.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. And basically what makes this completely unique is that instead of using electricity to restart the engine via an electric motor, this engine uses the combustion again to start the engine, which is kind of an unbelievable thought, really. How would that even be possible? But I'll briefly explain it, and we'll see if you have any questions after this, okay?
Yeah, break it down in layman's form.
I guess this is the most simple explanation is that the engine uses direct injection.
Okay.
So fuel and air mixture is directed, it's directly into the cylinder versus into the intake manifold and then, you know, through valves, et cetera. So that's key because when this vehicle, the Mazda 3, is coasting and arrives at its stop, you know, it's a stop sign, red light, whatever,
mm-hmm.
the engine core shuts down as it's on its coast down, just like a normal start-stop system would do. However, it's got sensors within the engine that sense exactly where every piston is located. And it can determine which piston is on which cycle, of course.
Okay.
It finds the piston that is just past top dead center, which means it's already, it's got its, compression's already complete. It's got its air fuel mixture ready to go. It's ready to fire, but it hasn't fired yet. So the only thing it's waiting for is a spark to ignite it. And you can see where this would be beneficial, because then it determines which cylinder it needs to fire to kick that piston down, which then it starts the engine by, with that force from that one piston. So it's an unbelievable system. It's really cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's I don't know, man. That's a little bit too much like artificial intelligence.
It's pretty advanced, but really it's just an idea of, just figuring out where each of the pistons are and what cycle they're in. And, the other cool thing about this is that it knows to rotate so that it's not always the same piston that's firing, so that it doesn't, unevenly wear the engine.
Oh, wow.
So it knows that if I fired on the first cylinder last time, I'm going to go on, cylinder number three this time. And you think that'd be a big deal, mm-hmm. How does it do that? But when you're talking about firing an engine, you're talking just milliseconds between, fractions of a second between firing. So it can determine when to stop this or when it decides to shut down so that the appropriate piston is in the right spot. It's pretty amazing.
It's able to make that calculation.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So, okay.
And the biggest benefit of this is that Mazda's claiming that the restarts are a lot faster. They say that it can start their engine again within 350 milliseconds. So if you're at a stoplight, you hit the gas, within 350 milliseconds, the engine started again. And that's apparently half as fast as, I'm sorry, I should say twice as fast, I guess, as a conventional system would do this. So instead of having like a slow or sluggish start, which is a complaint of some people that have used these, like I guess in a golf cart example.
Right.
I've never driven, any of these other hybrid cars, but I know when you hit the gas, there is a little delay and then it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that a car would be less pronounced than a golf cart, of course.
Hopefully.
But in the Mazda 3, it apparently is going to be, just quick.
Yeah, could you even
really
notice 350 milliseconds?
No, that's really, really fast. You wouldn't even detect that, I don't think.
I mean, I know we both have cat-like reflexes, but still, that's asking a lot.
I always land on my feet.
You do. I saw that earlier. Yeah. That was weird.
Well, you tripped me.
It's my nature. But so do you think that these systems could become a commonplace feature in vehicles?
Definitely. Yeah, I do. Especially if they become, advanced to this point. Now, this one, remember, it uses direct injection.
Yeah.
And I think that, that's key to this one working. So until everybody starts using that type of system. But I really do think that people are going to start using this more, or manufacturers, rather, are going to start including this more on other vehicles, because it seems to make sense. Fuel economy numbers can go way up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people will buy it.
This is usually the part where I say something crazy and off the wall, but no, I completely agree. I'm gonna play it straight laced on this one. Mm-hmm. This is a good idea.
Yeah, I think
and
it is.
When I get a car again, or when I get a new car rather, when I finally end my partnership with this Monte Carlo, I'm probably gonna go for a car that has something like this.
Oh, very good. Good for you. Maybe a smart car, maybe a Mini, something like that. Something small, or are you going to go big again? Get a Silverado.
I don't know, man. I like those land yachts.
Yeah.
I like those rolling boats. I drove a Bonneville for a while.
Oh, okay. So you're no stranger to, well, you probably have a tiller in that thing, right? Like a, like the Queen Mary or something.
I do. I have a crew that helps me drive that car. No. But before we go, I guess, first, thank you for breaking this down so I can sound a little bit less uninformed. I'm not going to say informed, but a little less uninformed. But before we go, I think we've got a little bit of listener mail today, right?
Yeah, we do. We have listener mail. The only reason I'm saying it that way is because I've been caught. I've been maybe not caught, just I made a mistake, and some listeners kept me honest on it, which I'm glad for. That's good. But It's always a little rough to admit you're wrong.
Wait, whoa.
I was wrong.
Well, Scott, I didn't mean to bring you down like this.
No, that's right. That's all right. I'm a little rough on myself. But anyways, if you remember way back when we talked about the Toyota ABAT.
Oh, yes, okay, the hybrid truck.
Talking about the hybrid truck. I said that this would be the first hybrid truck on the market.
Yes.
Incorrect. The Chevy Silverado is the first hybrid truck on the market. So Chevy was the first one to do it. Mm-hmm. I guess in my defense, I'm going to have to say this. But
sure.
This year is the first year for the full hybrid system on the Chevy Silverado. I forgot about it. My mistake. But prior to this, from 2005 to 2007,
uh-huh.
It was not a true hybrid. It was a mild hybrid, like what we're talking about here.
What we're talking about in this episode.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a good fit on this one. I figured that we'd wait until we got to this topic to mention it. But anyways, a couple of listeners, one was Neil and one was Luke. You know who you are. Thank you for thanks for writing in. I appreciate it. I really do, because anytime you catch something like that, let me know. Keeps us honest.
Yeah, so. And we. we're not sore about that.
No.
Just right off, Scott. I think you're being a little bit hard on yourself there, because I read that listener mail too. They didn't seem mad at you.
Oh no, not at all. It was nice mail, but I just feel a little silly when I neglect something like that, especially when I'm saying, oh, this is going to be the first one to do this, and I should have known not to say this is going to be the first of this. That's something that always catches you.
Well, that's the thing about technology. It's very, I'm sure the tech stuff guys can attest, it's very difficult sometimes to stay abreast. And, of course, for our listeners, we want you guys to know that your involvement is just as important as our own, and we love receiving mail. So if you have something that we tripped over, you want to write in to us about, or, if you think we're doing a good job, we could always use the ego boost. Or if you'd like to hear us report on any other topic, vehicle or automotive related, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. Be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the How Stuff Works homepage.